In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And today we're going to be discussing an era, a decade that I think means a lot to both me and Mike and is a really important decade for Xenials. And that
Absolutely.
Would be the 90s.
Yes.
This would be the time that we were mostly teenagers, slowly starting to branch into our adult years, but this is like our main teenage year.
Yeah. Pretty much all of us spent the 90s actually in high school. Like it wasn't something like a lot of millennials can also, they tend
understand.
To see this, they understand it, but at the same time, they were just getting into high school when we had already graduated.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
At the end of the 90s, we were, at the end of the 90s, beginning of the aughts, both of us were essentially, we were already out of high school, we were adults, we were getting into college, we were working,
and most
we were doing
that
kind of stuff, and we kind of had it's like the end of our formative years.
Yeah, this is what really helped to shape some of our
decade.
Mentality of things.
Absolutely.
And for the Gen Xers, that most of them were already out of high school becoming their young adult selves.
Yeah.
And so at some point or another, we'll also talk about how the aughts shaped our adulthood and the beginnings of our adulthood, especially when it comes to music, for instance, that we like. You were noting earlier today when we were talking the resurgence of some music from the aughts that people are getting into, specifically nu metal as having a bit of a resurgence.
It's really weird because nu metal started coming out like in the late 90s and really hit a big... It really hit a major mainstream
in
the early aughts. It really hit the mainstream then. But I tend to notice that you had, like, over the last couple of years, I want to say about 2-3 years ago, there were a lot of kids that were just like, man, the 80s were awesome. And they're like 22.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you weren't even born in the 80s, man. Like, you were born in like 95.
Oh, God.
And this doesn't make any sense for you to even be into this.
No.
You'd be like, the 80s were great. You had like ponytails on the side of your head and like pink clothes and crap. And it just doesn't, like,
the
fashion of the 80s.
We're going to talk about that.
There's a lot of stuff that I just personally, like, I grew up during the 80s as a kid. I didn't like a lot of what was happening in the 80s.
So much. I think I saw a meme the other day where it was like showing a somebody's kind of game nostalgia room. There's like a bright red couch and there's like a guitar attached to the wall and a bunch of like 80s tchotchke type stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I'm an 80s fan. I love the 80s. And then it showed another picture of what the 80s was really like.
Yeah.
With like brown walls, brown carpet, a tan sofa, a little tiny brown TV that was sitting on like a TV tray instead of an actual entertainment center of any kind. It's like, no, this is what the 80s was really like.
Yeah.
Everything was sparse as hell, and we still had all of the nasty earth tone colors that the 70s had vomited out.
There were still wood panels on the walls.
How many people did you know that either had that ugly maroon fridge or the ugly avocado color fridge? Or did you have
one?
We had the maroon one.
The house I live in right now, actually, the kitchen was a disgusting, like, I call it Mexican restaurant red.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the whole kitchen was that color. Like,
dear God.
The flipping, the counter spaces and the floor. And it was just this, it sucked, like the way the kitchen is now. Like, when we had just moved in,
it
was like 96.
Opening?
It had the opening.
So
and the pantry were this big, just closet space in the middle of the room. And it almost felt like it opened it up, but it just felt like the kitchen and the living room were one area. But there was still carpet separating the living room from the kitchen. It was ugly.
Well,
it was god awful.
That was another 80s thing, carpet everywhere. But anyway, we're talking about the 90s today.
We are talking about the 90s. Only personally, I think. And you introduced this to me, and I completely agree before we started recording. We feel like the 90s have been kind of missed as far as the nostalgia train. Like, you've got things that people, like, reminisce about, like me personally. Like, I'm into the whole video game thing, obviously, and that kind of stuff. And
I'm into the cinema, for instance, of the 90s was some groundbreaking cinema. You saw a resurgence of really low-budget quality films.
Yeah.
During the 90s, stuff that had some real good stories to tell, very similar to the kind of cinema breakthrough of the 1970s that people love so much with basically everything that Scorsese and Spielberg started with, Coppola started with, all of those movies that I'm not a fan of, but still the 70s revitalized.
Well, it's part of that. Yeah, it's part of that.
But the 90s have been overlooked in that sense. Like, I mean, you have Stranger Things, which everybody loves that show, and it's such an 80s nostalgia. The 90s have been a little bit overlooked, but that's why we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
Because we've mentioned some 80s stuff. We talked about like the toys that we liked in the 80s.
Yeah.
All those things. Today, we're going to talk about some things that we miss.
Yeah.
That were in the 90s. Now, from our previous experience last week, we found out that a list of 10 each is a little much, because that ends up making
lessons learned.
Yes, our podcast goes way too long when we have 10 each. So we each have a list of 5 things.
Yes.
That were there in the 90s, that were a part of the 90s, part of our lives specifically in the 90s, that we really kind of miss in the sense that they've disappeared. Now, key to this list, because we talked about this list before, and key to this list, these are things that are gone,
mm-hmm.
and because of the way that society, either the way society is now, or the way that companies that produce things are now, or just because of changes, whatever, these are things that are gone that basically can't come back or haven't come back. Like, normally on a list like this, I would include something like Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Crystal Pepsi lover. It's like literally my favorite soda.
Yeah.
And I'm using literally appropriately in this.
Yeah.
And when it disappeared in the 90s, I was heartbroken
and
sad forever. And it has come back. Pepsi has re-released Crystal Pepsi multiple times.
Yeah.
Last summer, the summer before that.
Yeah.
And I've made sure to go out and buy as many as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, they only come out in 20-ounce bottles, but I think the purpose of that is to just try to jack up sales as much as possible.
Yeah, whatever. That makes sense.
I don't care. When it comes out, I buy more than I should and drink a ton of it.
Yep.
Because it's absolutely amazing. It is my favorite soda. So something like that really wouldn't make the list because it's not gone forever. It's not something I'm never going to be able to get back.
Well, it does. Well, I would consider that comes back as a novelty. It's not quote unquote fully gone, but it's seasonal. It's like they turned Crystal Pepsi into the McRib. You know what I mean?
Mr.
Pumpkin
McRib.
Spice lattes. Like, it's the same kind of.
Do not even put that in the same thing as the pumpkin
spice
latte.
No, it's a gimmick that comes out every. It's a seasonal gimmick.
Fine.
I call it that for what it is.
Fine.
You know?
You're like, basic.
I'm not basic. I'm just calling it what it is, man.
Anyway.
Dang. We're starting off heated.
Sorry, got it. It's the whole pumpkin spice thing. I hate that time of year. I really do. There was a time.
They're talking about bringing it back in August. Why?
The pumpkin.
It was supposed to be like an October thing. At the least, pumpkins haven't even harvested yet.
At least give us till the first day of fall for the pumpkin spice thing. At least give us till the first day of fall.
No, they're calling it like right now. It's coming out in like less than a week, if not already out. Like, they're already calling it. It's like pumpkin spice lattes now signal the beginning of the school season for some reason.
And all I'm going to say is this is what all of your addictions to Starbucks have done to us, people. This is why. Boycott that thing.
I blame White Claw.
Okay, you know, I've just become aware of White Claw as a thing. Because I don't drink that much. I really don't. Cultural significance of White Claw and why I should find it amusing in all the memes that I see it in. Now, I mean, this is an alcoholic beverage that has a fruity flavor.
It's a fruity flavored alcoholic beverage. It's very similar to Zima. Basically, it's like the alcoholic version of, well, I wouldn't say it's the alcoholic version of La Croix because it has more flavor.
Ah, oh yeah, those things. But I've tried one of those once.
It's very. It's the quintessential white girl's alcoholic beverage at this point. It's not quite a margarita, but it's something that you could just pop into a can and go. It has. It's basically the white girl's version of a Limerita.
Interesting note on that. I'll come back to. So basically, if guys are drinking this, it's an emasculating thing for a guy to be drinking these.
I mean, technically speaking, but it's not. It's not like I'm not necessarily trying to go there.
Okay.
But you know, I'm not. I don't necessarily consider a pumpkin spice latte to be emasculating, quote unquote.
I do.
But it's.
I totally do.
Dude, I'm not looking at it. Hey, look, they're good, dude, man.
Dude
okay?
walks up to me
like,
and says
I'll have one, but I'll wait until freaking November, okay? But White Claws are kind of like the summer white girl drink. Like, that's what that's about.
Okay, that's
about. What it is.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, I've seen it in comparison to Four Loko, and I'm like, okay, Four Loko is like Four Loko is like if you want to drink super sweet Kool-Aid and get completely trashed, go get a Four Loko.
I saw a meme a little bit ago. It was a few weeks ago or something like that, and it said somebody's taking a Four Loko. They're pouring a 5-hour energy into it.
Yeah,
and they're all, have you ever tried a 9 Loko? And somebody commented underneath it and said, do cocaine like an adult.
I get that. I can say I have done an 8 Loko.
What is an 8 Loko?
2 Four Lokos within a short period of time.
Did you pour one Four Loko into the other Four Loko?
Technically, no, but I mean, yes, technically. Technically speaking, if you want to consider the fact that I poured one Four Loko down
one
my throat.
Can into a-
and then within I would say a minute of drinking the one Four Loko, I started the second Four Loko, and both were drunk within an hour and a half period. I would say that, yes, I did pour one into the other because there was nothing else in my stomach at the time.
Oh, man.
I will say this much. Halfway through the second one.
Don't try this at home.
Halfway through the second one, I did start eating things because it became a necessity.
Because you were going to get sick?
The only thing I could find that I could eat was rice cakes, but hey, it can soak up some of the liquid, so that's what my hope was. Needless to say, it was a very interesting experience. I luckily did not get sick, but it's not something that's going to happen again anytime soon.
New.
Ate Loko bad. But anyway.
I was going to say, that's abuse.
Somewhat,
of
yes,
yourself.
My body was not overly happy with me the next day.
I've had
worse situations. My body was not overly happy. So, for the admissions portion of things, thank you.
We've all done it.
So, to the topic, our five things that we miss from the 90s.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go.
Should we do my list first and then your list?
I think we should alternate.
You want to go yours first and then
no,
me?
No, we're going to alternate.
Oh, one back and forth. I like that.
I think that's better.
Okay, we'll do five on this portion, then have a little break, and then do five on the other one?
Sure, we'll do that. We'll start with yours.
Try to even it out.
I'd say since we're already partway into our first segment, we'll do four and then finish off with the other six. So
okay.
Two each.
Four and then six.
Two
yeah, that
each.
Makes sense. That
okay.
makes sense. Give
okay.
ourselves some time.
Yep.
Okay, so
go ahead. Start off. So
me
what's
first.
One of the things?
Okay, so my first thing is video arcades as a culture. You have a couple of things. You have a couple of places that do this just for the sake of nostalgia.
Yeah.
But it's more of a gimmick now than it is something that
just existed.
I don't know if this violates the Crystal Pepsi rule or not.
Well, no, because I can see where you're saying that. I mean, arcades really started in the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah, they started in the late 70s, and they started to get their comeuppance in the 80s, and then in the 90s, they were really strong.
Yeah, they reached their peak in the 90s.
Yeah, it was just a lot of great games, and you still have things like Chuck E. Cheese's still exist.
Well, no, not, I mean, I remember specifically but, when, like, the, you know, you would either be good at, like, Street Fighter 2, right?
Yeah.
When Street Fighter 2 came out, you were either good at Street Fighter 2 at the arcade,
yeah,
or you were good at playing it at home on your SNES.
Yeah.
But you weren't good. Typically, you weren't good at both. You were good at one or the other.
Yeah.
Like I could button mash like hell on an arcade, and I wasn't good. I just button mashed enough to beat people, and like they were playing like Bison. And I'm bringing out Vega because, oh, he's got claws like Wolverine. Let's try Vega. Where in a normal situation, Bison is going to defeat Vega every single time.
Yeah, for sure.
I was beating people because I could button mash the hell out of it and make it work.
Yeah.
But you get me on the SNES,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't do a damn thing. Couldn't make anything work properly on that. And so, in that early 90s, that was like you say, the peak of that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know that it would fall under the Crystal Pepsi thing in that it peaked and then it's, like you say, the culture slowly disappeared from it.
Well, pretty much like any of the major video arcades that I remembered seeing. And I had one of my best friend's dad service video arcades.
Oh,
like, that
cool.
was his thing. He worked for Namco.
Nice.
So he would go service the arcade machines and stuff like that. He would see that all the time. But, you know, back when we lived, when I lived up in Yuba City.
Yeah.
And we were working, you know, we were working at Blockbuster and all that. There was an arcade at the mall.
Yeah.
There was an arcade at every shopping mall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And malls still, for the most part, kind of exist. They don't have the same cultural impact that they used to. But video arcades in malls are extremely rare, if at all. Every arcade I know of in town that was around is gone.
Well, and the biggest point to the arcade was all of you could gather around, a bunch of you could gather around together and switch off playing the games.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's no need for that anymore.
No, not really.
Because you just get online and play online with your friends.
You can, yeah, exactly. Everybody, high quality gaming has gone at home. Well, the money was put into the arcade machines, if you remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And the home ports were the ones that were missing a few pegs.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know?
When you play, again, using Street Fighter II as the example, because that's my biggest experience, or even any of the Mortal Kombat games.
Oh, for sure.
Because those were huge at the arcades. The graphics in the arcade machines, so much better than the graphics on your thing at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much better.
Yeah.
The controls responded faster. Hell, I remember, I think you have one from the original NES. I know I had one at the time.
Uh-huh.
But the one controller that's the joystick controller.
Yes. You mean the NES one or the SNES one? The NES one's called the Advantage. I have one. It's, dude, that thing is sturdy as hell.
But your buttons end up sticking after a little bit of time.
They can, but you can always clean it up.
You got that when you were playing NES to try to replicate the arcade as much as possible.
Yeah.
Sorry, kids. Anybody that ever watches the movie The Wizard, the Power Glove did not help you in any way, shape, or form.
The Power Glove is terrible. I would totally have one to hang on the wall, but that would be about it.
It's a gimmicky piece of garbage to try to actually use. Mm-hmm. So it does not make you a better player at Super Mario 3. little reference there. Go
it's
watch
so
the movie.
Bad.
It's a terrible movie. Tobey Maguire, though, had a small part in that movie. It's one of his first films. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, go back.
The arcade culture has disappeared, especially just the idea of going and hanging out at an arcade.
Yeah, going hanging out at an arcade. That is gone. It's like I haven't seen one in a while. The only one there is. We're up in the Sacramento area. There's a local place, and I think it's actually a small chain. It's called the Coin Op.
Yeah,
it is a bar. It is a big central bar. In the middle. It's like a corral style bar in the middle, and it's a video arcade bar. Yeah, but it's an adult. 21 plus arcade bar, and that's the thing. It's a nostalgia gimmick kind of a thing.
Towards the culture of the kids who grew up with that.
Exactly. And it's a cool concept. It's great.
It's like when we were teenagers, if an adult was hanging out in the arcade, that's some Stranger Danger stuff. And
yeah, for sure.
When you know, somebody needs to be told about that because adults didn't go and play the arcade games. That was us as teenagers.
Yeah.
And if there was maybe a guy who was 18, 19 who had graduated from high school or maybe didn't graduate from high school.
Yeah.
But still lived around town with his parents, and his younger brother was in high school with you guys, and he'd show you how to play the games and beat y'all, but he was a little bit creepy, greasy hair, that kind of thing. Not talking about anybody in particular, I'm just saying.
No, I get it. You had one of those guys about every damned arcade.
Yeah.
That's why you went with your parents, man.
Yeah. Well, I never went with my parents. No, I just went by myself, but I went in a group.
I was a sheltered kid. You know, when I would go, my dad would be with me or something. You know, until I was close to about like middle school or high school, I'd be going downtown to the arcade with my buddy.
I was the kid that was 5 years old, my first day of kindergarten, getting dropped off with the bus, and my parents weren't at the bus stop where I could see them. So I actually forced the bus driver to drive me to my house and drop me off at my door. So even at five, nobody was going to tell me what to do. I was going to take, going to take control of things. So my parents, I don't think were overly worried about me being in public and in those kind of social situations because there was nobody who was going to tell me what to do or take any kind of advantage of me. I was going to put it in their damn place.
Right. Okay. So what's your first one, man?
Okay. As is expected from a gentleman of my, size and belly girth, many of my items are food items.
Okay. Actually, none of my items are food items.
Because you're not fat like me. this one's a really small one. And they were only out for a very few number of years in the early 90s, early mid-90s. They're a candy. Hot and cold Nerds. You probably never even remember them because they were very, very.
What?
They were only out for like a year or two.
Yeah, this no, I don't remember
thing.
That.
Like, you know, Nerds normally come in a little box and you have a color on each side.
Yes.
Like the most common is the strawberry and the grape.
Yep.
That's the most common one.
Yep.
You can sometimes get the giant box with all the rainbow Nerds in it.
Yep.
Love that.
Nerds are awesome.
This was one side peppermint, the other side cinnamon. Hot and Cold Nerds.
What?
And they may even be called Fire and Ice. I don't know. But it was one side peppermint, one side cinnamon.
It's kind of like a Mike and Ike thing.
Very much so. But that
Except
they were
separated.
Nerds. And separated and nerds.
Whoa.
They were amazing. I only had them a few times.
That was like a tryout. They were like, this isn't hooking us. This isn't hooking our audience.
Yeah, it's not making enough money. It's not selling enough. But it was just it was one of those momentary things that, like, nerds are great anyway, but to have it pepperminty, and I love anything mint, so that's always a draw for me. But peppermint and cinnamon nerds, wow, they were just amazing.
Interesting.
So sweet. So wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're never going to get them back, obviously. The nerds will probably never do them again.
I haven't seen a box of nerds actually in a while. Nerds themselves. I see nerd ropes, but I don't see the boxes of nerds really
anymore. Oh, yeah. All over the place. Especially at Halloween time.
When my wife and I are grocery shopping later, we're probably getting some nerds now.
Yeah, that'll happen. Interestingly, Walmart now has, by their ice cream stuff, they have a little bag that has nerds in it. That has less nerds than what the boxes of rainbow nerds have. And it's the rainbow nerds, but they're ice cream topping nerds. So by putting them in a different packaging, they're charging you twice as much as what you would get from the box. Yeah.
But they're just regular nerds. It's an ice cream topping now.
Their advertising was ice cream topping. Just go buy the box of rainbow nerds.
Freaking weird.
Halloween time is your best time because you'll get the big bags of candy that you buy to, you know, give to kids.
Uh-huh.
That'll have the strawberry and the grape.
Yeah.
But they'll be in separate little boxes. So it'll be little pink boxes and little purple boxes.
Interesting.
Around Easter time, you get other flavors.
Okay.
They're like punch flavors, like a berry punch and then like some other kind of punch flavors.
Interesting.
Also come in the little tiny boxes in the giant bags.
Yeah.
I have children. And I am not above using candy to bribe my children to behave.
I can understand
that. If you're good, you get candy. Kid is good. Throw the candy at them. Not too hard. Just enough to get it to them.
Don't do damage.
I mean, we've Smarties. You know Smarties, the little rolls of Smarties candies?
Oh, yeah. Smarties are great.
The tart candies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we call that in our household baby crack.
I can understand that. Kind of baby crack.
Yeah, you can get kids to do anything for a roll of those. Literally anything.
Yeah.
You want them to clean something up? I have candies. They will claw their brother and sister to clean the thing up so that they can get them candies. Seriously.
Good Lord. All right.
It's like Hunger Games out there.
I can see that. Boy. These are experiences I don't have.
No.
I am not a parent.
Well, a dog parent, but not a people parent. It is
I am a dog parent. You know what? We have our puppy crack.
You can't use candy.
No, you can't use candy.
That's bad.
But we have our puppy crack.
Yeah. So
we have the same. Yep.
It still works the same way. It's the same. It is literally, they are comparable things.
Yep. Totally.
Okay, next thing on your list, sir.
All right. I'm melding two into one here.
That's okay. I have a meld.
Cassette mixtapes and CD boomboxes.
Oh,
so this is okay. Why
this
I'm
actually
doing
touches
both.
On this actually touches on one of mine, but yours is separate enough. So go. Okay.
So here's first off, cassette mixtapes, recording songs off the radio onto tape.
Oh,
there was
God.
A thing about waiting for a song and then recording it onto a mixtape.
Yeah, and then getting that little bit of the DJ talking at the beginning and end, you're like, dude, just shut up. We just want the song.
Yeah, totally. But that game was changed once CD boomboxes were kicking in.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had the CD boombox, you had the tape recorder on the same deal.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You didn't want to damage your CDs. You wanted to keep them in the case.
Yeah.
And most cars didn't catch up to the CD player in the car.
And you had your Walkman that you had begged and begged and begged to get the actual original Walkman, which original Walkman children were cassette tape Walkman.
I have one. I love it.
The Discman. Because they were called Discman when the CD version came out.
Yeah.
The Walkman was a cassette tape one. I had one of those off-brands that was like bright yellow and had rubberized stuff, so it was supposed to be waterproof. I think it was much later that I finally got an actual real Sony Walkman.
Nice.
Because that was the gold standards.
Yeah.
That was like having the Reebok pumps and Nike Air Jordans. And you had the
Why is Sony Reebok Walkman? Pumps not on my list? I never even had them.
I did.
You had pumps?
Dude, we have a picture online of me in pumps.
Yeah, I never had pumps.
Yeah, remember the picture I put up is the meme with the crappy Chicago
You're
Bulls
wearing
hat?
Pumps in that picture?
Those are Reebok pumps in that picture. I bought them myself. Thank you very much.
Nice.
$100. I bought them myself. They were expensive as hell. And guess what? They were the most uncomfortable damn shoes I've ever worn in my entire life.
I bet.
They were awful shoes. Awful. But okay. Anyway, so yeah.
So cassette mixtapes. And here's the thing about CD boom boxes. First off, you didn't get the DJ. Second off, you had the highest quality music you could possibly get, recording it straight to tape.
Yes.
And then from there, you're backing up, you're throwing your tapes in the car. You could do all that kind of stuff. And you could just make multiple copies of the same disc and not like lose quality.
Well, and
you could do the coolest ones though were like the dual cassette decks where you could make a copy or get like a retail copy of a tape and then copy it back over and save that.
I remember that.
Those were great. Like,
but what was it was nice to have the boombox.
Yeah.
But I'm just remembering the real cool kids didn't just have the boombox. They had the shelf system.
I loved the shelf system. Yeah. That was one of the first things I bought when I first got a job. My first job, one of the first major things I bought.
Do you remember the brand of it?
It was an RCA.
I bought the Philips.
Nice.
Remember the Philips that had the speakers with? I still have the speakers for them. I just don't have the actual shelf.
Wow! I just found my wife and I just went to Goodwill, and I found it because I was just like looking through it. Whatever. I got a Live Foghat cassette tape album from 77.
Nice.
And we bought a Sony 5.1, like console type system, like the little console shelf systems.
Yeah.
Dual cassettes, 3 CD changer. I'm pretty sure the CD changer doesn't work. I bet you the belt in the spindle is gone.
Probably.
I'll crack the thing open and fix it. But, dude, pretty clean. 5.1 system. Takes RCA jacks from the... Dude, I'm going to hook that thing up to the tube TV and go nuts.
Nice.
With my video games and stuff.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome. But that's one of mine for sure.
Oh, yeah. And having that boombox, depending on the size of the boombox that you had... just having that music accessibility in that way, so great.
Especially it was a game changer throwing the CD player
into the
cassette deck recorder. That was a whole thing because people were doing that with vinyl records.
Yeah,
and they were, but it took the giant console to do it.
Yeah.
You had to have the multi-console piece sitting in the living room.
Yeah,
and basically it was just like, hey, Dad, can I borrow your stereo and copy your copy your Pink Floyd album to tape or something. Like, you would have to do that. This, dude, it's a tiny little box, fits in your bedroom.
And again, it was at least another 3 to 5 years before your parents were going to buy you the Discman because, you weren't going to take those $20 CDs, $20 even then, and you weren't going to take those $20 CDs around with you anywhere because how are you going to carry all the cases?
Exactly.
You know, you're going to put them in some kind of a booklet or something. Those kind of things don't exist then,
for sure. Exactly. I
mean, wow.
Yeah. All okay right. What's yours?
So this will be my final one of this half. This is another food related one.
Okay,
this is a combo one. Okay, multiple things in this.
Okay,
it has to do with one of America's favorite snack foods. America loves chips. We love chips. Chips are a thing.
Uh-huh.
Right? They're everywhere. You always you can find them to eat anywhere you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Lay's is really good nowadays about coming out with all kinds of different flavors.
Right.
They come out with new flavors almost every year of different things to try. Some hit, some missed, some disappear forever.
Uh-huh.
These two particular ones, they are from Lay's company, Frito-Lay company. They were out in the 90s. One of them is almost considered an eponymous thing with the 90s.
Okay.
And the other one most people don't even know about. But they were literally my two favorite chips ever.
Okay.
3D Doritos.
Oh, those were good.
So good. The first one. Cool Ranch specifically. I don't necessarily like, I'll eat the nacho ones. Believe me, if I had nacho 3Ds in front of me, I would eat them because they're 3Ds.
Yeah.
But Cool Ranch Doritos were my thing.
Yeah, totally.
And
3D Doritos.
I've always loved Cool Ranch Doritos.
Well, did they sell in a tube? Is that correct? Did they used to sell in a tube?
No,
I'm mixing them up with something
else. They were in a bag. And admittedly, Doritos had another thing that I liked, the Pepper Jack. I don't know if you remember Pepper Jack Doritos. They've been gone since the 90s
as well. No, I haven't seen that.
But they're not my second chip that I'm talking about. The second one is a different flavor. But the first one is those 3Ds. And again, I've loved Cool Ranch chips, Dorito chips specifically for years.
Cool Ranch Doritos are killer.
They are overall my favorite chip flavor. on a regular.
I can get it. You know what? I'm a huge fan of spicy nacho.
I can understand that. But to have them in those 3Ds, the different texture that the 3Ds had, that puffed texture to them.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so good.
Those were good.
There was even some for a while that would turn different colors. It would turn your fingers like green or something. It was some movie that they were tied to. You know how 90s loved all its bright colors.
Totally.
The other chip, another Frito-Lay chip. I've talked about this one, I think, before with you. Mm-hmm. Texas Grill Fritos.
I do not remember those at all.
No, so these are Fritos that were about inch and a half long and about a half inch wide.
Maybe so they were larger versions of Fritos.
They were larger versions. They had fake grill marks on them.
Cute.
And they had a barbecue flavor to them because they were Texas Grill.
Now, they do have a barbecue-flavored Frito.
They have the honey barbecue spirals.
Yes.
Which are that's the current version of what they originally did with the Texas Grill.
Okay.
And I'm a Frito lover. I like chili cheese. I like the barbecue ones. They even have a ranch Frito, which is actually really good. Same size as the regular Frito, but have a ranch flavor to them.
Nah, try that.
And then regular Fritos are amazing in almost any capacity. But this specific Texas Grill Frito was just my favorite chip. It even eclipsed my love of Cool Ranch Doritos. Every time I was able to get a package of those, I got them because they were just such a good chip.
Yeah.
It was a barbecue corn chip that just had amazing flavor. And the honey barbecue one, the spiral ones that exist now, the twists, they don't even come close to the amazing flavor you got out of the Texas Grill chips.
Oh, yeah.
Never going to happen again. Most people don't even know they existed because most people never saw them.
Yeah.
You have to do research to even find they existed.
All right. Man. Boy, that is
I know. It's one of those things. It's food. It's simple, but food is sometimes what drives us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we will have each of us will have three more things that we miss that were in the 90s and is now gone.
Yeah.
All right. See you in a few.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back. Hope that was a good break.
Yeah,
you have to go to the bathroom or something.
Nice and short.
Maybe you took us with you to the bathroom.
Who knows?
Sexy. No, you don't like that?
That was weird.
All right. Anyway, so now we're going to talk the last three on each of our lists. I believe it's your turn now, sir. Again,
sure.
We were only on a break for a short period of time. You heard an advertisement, but just to remind you, we're talking about the things that we miss from the 90s that were there, that meant something to us, that are now gone for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So what's next on your list, sir?
My next thing is VCRs and taping television. Not TiVo. TiVo is different. Here's the thing about TiVo and the difference.
Okay, you're really dovetailing into my
they
main
kind
one.
Of tend to. Well, really?
Yeah, both these last two are really dovetailing into my main one. So keep going because what I'm hearing.
Okay,
but I just want you to be prepared when I drop the one that I'm dropping.
We're gonna really kind of have this. Okay, that's legit.
Go.
That's fine.
No, go.
Ain't
go.
Nothing wrong with it. Okay, so the big thing about this. The cool thing about VCRs in general, and yeah, they're very much an 80s thing. A lot of people, they tend to attach themselves to the 80s. And back when the 90s, one of the biggest things that started with the 90s and could have possibly be part of this, one of the things that started with the 90s was satellite television. So digital cable. Satellite TV, that kind of thing. That's when it was big. I mean, now you don't really think about it so much because not a lot of people really have it anymore.
Well,
like a lot of people have cut the cord.
And as much as people want to associate VCRs with the 80s,
mm-hmm.
the 90s is when you really saw the utilization of it. It was the late 80s, as we discussed in previous podcasts, it was the late 80s and early 90s that you saw the birth and the growth of the retail rental industry.
Yes.
For VCR rentals.
Funny enough, that works its way into something else I will be talking about, or another subject matter. Now, the reason why I went to this specifically is because one of the things that started in the early aughts that was this marketed I honestly am not a fan of it to this day. I think it, I understand that there is a security to it, but the fact that you, the, this download culture of,
yes,
like official download stuff, like doing the internet based streaming. Oh, you have the new Avengers film that you got on Blu-ray plus DVD plus digital download.
Wow.
Why the hell do you want to watch it on your phone?
You're really totally getting into what I have on your
keyboard. Okay.
It's amazing. This is beautiful.
Okay. So the thing about VCRs and being able to tape television, when Terminator was on Fox in the middle of Sunday, or the football game was on, and your Monday Night Football is on, and you're working or whatever, like, you had the capability of just hooking up a VCR to your television set, pulling in the video signal, and just recording it straight to a tape.
Yeah.
Straight up, that's it. And you could archive all of this stuff if you wanted to. This is like where probably 75% of the movies that we owned came from. They were out for about 2 or 3 years. They were out on television, and then we hooked up the VCR and recorded them onto tape.
I love those tapes that your dad recorded stuff on, where like the first half of the tape is the movie Pale Rider, Charlie Bronson movie.
Oh, right.
And then the second half of the tape is Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And the third half of the tape is something else that I don't remember. And so if it was rewound all the way in the little car looking rewinder that everybody had, you would have to fast forward all the way through Pale Rider to be able to get to Return of the Jedi, to watch Return of the Jedi, because that was the only copy you had of Return of the Jedi in the house. This is from real life experience.
Yeah.
If my father listens to this, he'll probably be able to go and find that tape in his brown wood paneling looking tape drawer.
We just bought one. It's in the game room. We have a couple of tapes and stuff in there right now.
My dad has, I think it had 2 or 3 of those at one point in time.
Yeah.
I get you. And that's, again, that ties so much into one of the things on my list.
There's something about it, man. And the one of the big things that happened around that time, just very similar to the cassette and CD, you had a DVD VCR combo. And sometimes you were able to take those and copy them. And most of the time, the DVDs would have some copy protect where it would F with the video output or something like that.
I actually do have one of those. That's a DVD VCR combo.
Yeah.
My kids used to have DVD VCR combos in their rooms all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all their stuff, they ended up destroying enough of the tapes over time by watching them so much that we ended up just getting them DVD players after that. And then tablets, because it's so much easier to access everything with the tablets now.
Yeah,
They just go on YouTube and watch whatever they want and the bits and pieces.
You have the convenience of that. But me personally, still, I buy hard copies of stuff. Even in the digital realm, it's you want to be able to
packaging own
that. Yeah, there's packaging. There's just the ability to. Here's the thing: what happens when your internet dies?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do now,
man?
You know, I mean. If you want to go ahead and pop up, you know, season 3 of Psych just out of nowhere.
Example for you. Last week, the big movie that came out on DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, whatever, big movie that came out was Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like most movies do.
And it's got the triple digital whatever.
Guess when James got it? Me. Guess when I got it?
When did you got it?
Tuesday. What?
The day that it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And I watched it that day.
It's a hard copy. It's a hard copy. Like, I understand.
I could have bought it digitally like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to pay to buy it digitally 2 weeks ago.
Right.
The digital copy would have come with all the extras. But what am I downloading that digital copy onto? What if I lose that thing that I downloaded the digital copy onto?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's just this big thing that just happened recently. There was a digital streaming company that just went under. And if you had licenses under that digital streaming company, you lost those licenses.
Yeah.
Flat out. There's none. I think it was, I don't think it was Vudu. It was somebody else.
No, because that one's still going.
Because they're still going. But that's what's going to happen with these companies. Like digital downloads for stuff that you have for old video game systems. Yeah. It's the same deal. I want to be able to have hard copies of this stuff.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first examples where you were able to do that. And this was like a big, You, so what if it's that not on TV anymore?
I mean,
anymore?
That was a dad thing, you know? Was getting the VCR and then spending hours trying to figure out how to record stuff and set up the timer to record stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All that kind of, that was a major dad thing.
Fantastic stuff, too. Like, I liked just the use of that. I thought it was really fun.
I get you on that.
For sure. What's yours?
This is going to, since you brought these two things up, mm-hmm. I'm going to break into this big one. I was kind of saving this big one, but maybe I'll make the funny one as the last one.
Okay.
My thing that I miss has, again, it's connected to these things. Mm-hmm. It's media consumption as an event.
Wow.
And here's what I'm talking about with that. You're talking about the VCR coming and having this to plan the time to record something whenever it showed up on TV.
Yeah.
But even if you didn't, say you didn't have the VCR, you didn't have the tapes available, you forgot to go get tapes or whatever, because it's not like you always had them sitting around.
Yeah.
When something was on, you had to be there to watch it.
Yeah.
When something was released on CD, music was released.
Yeah.
You had to go get the CD. You had to go get the singles.
You had to go buy it.
Singles were a big deal because B-sides on a single.
Mm-hmm.
One of the bands I got introduced to in the 90s, like most people, well, I wouldn't say most people, but like a number of people did, was Pearl Jam.
Of course.
You know, and typically there was a divide. There were Nirvana fans and Pearl Jam fans, and they normally didn't. I was on the Pearl Jam side of
they
things.
They were pretty much the Beatles and Stones of their time.
I could see that, yeah. That's a good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Pearl Jam fan.
Yeah.
And at the time when the first album came out, when Pearl Jam 10 came out, one of the most sought after things to get was the Jeremy single.
Yeah.
Because the B-side to the Jeremy single was a song called Yellow Ledbetter.
Right.
Which at the time was probably the best Pearl Jam song there was. It was an amazing song. Better even than, and 10 is one of my favorite albums still to this day.
Uh-huh.
But Yellow Ledbetter at the time was better than anything that was even on 10. That's a damn good album.
Really? Okay.
I mean, to have that
I didn't know
single,
it was on an album. Or I didn't know that Yellow Ledbetter wasn't on an album.
No, never on an album. Only the B-side of the single.
Wow.
It's the only way you could get that song was B-side of Jeremy.
Okay.
And, hell, I have it. I still have the Jeremy single. I even had the Jeremy single put onto my iPod so that it would have the Jeremy single and the Yellow Ledbetter B-side.
Cool.
But that was the way to get any kind of extra music. Beyond just what you heard on the radio, you had to go and make an event out of buying the CD. You had to go to places like, I don't know if you remember, up in Yuba City, a little north of Sacramento, for anybody that doesn't know their California geography all that well. There used to be a store called The Underground. Now, I know you and I spent a lot of time in The Underground buying stuff. At the time, the only way you were ever going to get concert music,
mm-hmm.
they were bootleg concert stuff,
right.
CDs, cassette tapes, bootleg recordings of these concerts that you get. I have bootleg recordings of Metallica during Load Tour doing Reload songs from the Reload album before they had come out.
Cool,
and
man.
And even announcing, hey, this is a song that's going to be on our next album, and they bust into Devil's Dance.
Cool.
And so you're getting that media, watching the Super Bowl. You had to sit and watch the Super Bowl. You had to sit and watch anything happen. Music videos being released. We touched on this once before. When Michael Jackson's Black and White video came out, now put aside all the things for Michael Jackson now. Think back into a mindset of the 90s. When the Black and White video initially came out,
mm-hmm.
the country stopped. This was on this was on prime time
this
news.
Was, I believe if I remember correctly, I think it was like 8:30 or 9 p.m. On like a Thursday night. No, it was Sunday night. And it was right after The Simpsons.
And it was
prime time. Fox. It was that was like the,
advertised for weeks ahead of time.
They did it for Remember the Time as well.
Yes, they did it for Remember the Time.
Mm-hmm.
This is when like the world, or, well, at least the country would shut down for these big media events.
Yeah.
Even in 99, when they started showing the first trailers of Episode One, Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah.
That the first trailer shown for that, they weren't at some con somewhere and broadcast across the internet. Because I watched Rise of Skywalker,
mm-hmm.
the most recent trailer. I watched the Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
I sat through an hour and a half of watching Star Wars Celebration on my phone until they announced they were gonna the trailer was coming on.
Wow.
And then I watched the trailer, and then I watched the best part of the trailer. Trailer's over. You hear the Palpatine laugh at the end of the trailer. Trailer stops. Ian McDiarmid walks out.
Oh!
And says, so, do we want to see that trailer again? And the trailer starts up again.
Ha.
And it's like, it's Palpatine right there. Holy crap.
Yep.
And so, admittedly, it's fun to have that, but and that part of it makes it an event, but it's not the same because most people aren't going to sit and watch that hour and a half of celebration.
I was going to say, waiting for it to happen. That happening, like, as far as that's concerned, you don't see that kind of event unless you go to a con.
Exactly. The rest of the time, it'll come up and people will be like, oh, okay, the new trailer for this is up. I'll watch it when I get the opportunity to watch it.
There are internet premieres.
There are some.
There are some, but it's not the same. It doesn't stop the world from working for
a minute. No, it doesn't. And that's the thing is, when you have music come out, you can access it immediately on your phone.
Yeah, when's the last single, like, new this? Ariana Grande isn't going to stop people from doing what they're doing in order to premiere a music video. Yeah. People are just going to see it at the time that they want to see it. Like, whenever that's why you have YouTube.
Because,
which
again,
is great. Don't get me wrong.
The media availability, even talking about my kids with it, we got them tablets because the media availability for them with the tablets,
yeah,
they can watch whatever they want whenever they want.
Yeah, totally.
It's no longer an event when these media things happen anymore because you're going to be able to see it on every single outlet. And funny enough, the reason YouTube was started. Mm-hmm. Was because an event happened and a dude missed it.
Wow. Really?
I think I'd had this discussion with you before. You may or may not remember it. The reason they started banking YouTube was because a guy missed the Super Bowl halftime show where Justin Timberlake pulled off the front of Janet Jackson's shirt and exposed her nipple. He missed seeing that and had to go find a recording of it because at that time there was no online database for recording of stuff that you could just enter information and find whatever you wanted. That was the origins of YouTube starting.
Wow.
And that's the thing is media is no longer, media disbursement is no longer the event that it was.
Wow.
That's interestingly what's touched on in the Josie and the Pussycats movie. A little reference to last podcast. Josie and the Pussycats is all about media events happening and them having to pay attention to media events as they happen.
Yeah.
The whole concert that happens in that movie and the little ears that they have to wear.
Yeah.
Watch the movie, kids. It's all about centering around one media event that has to happen and everybody's got to focus and pay attention to this one media event that happens. It doesn't happen that way anymore because we have the accessibility to catch it whenever we want to. It's on our schedule now instead of on the schedule of the media that's being released.
Yeah.
While it's put power in our hands, it's almost taken the power away from all of these other things.
It has. It has. You cannot have the same... that's actually a lot of people go asking for, why has there not been another Nirvana? Why has there not been another, you won't find it. Michael Jackson is never happening again.
No, you're not going to get that level of attention.
You're not going to have, you're not going to have a television series that is, don't get me wrong. There's like Game of Thrones, I think, is the last large television series that happens, and people did they do that up to a point, but it will never hit the same. It will never hit the same and stop everyone from working.
Well,
you've got Game of Thrones watching parties and stuff like that.
The thing is,
you turn around and stream the stuff off HBO's channel the next day and not care.
And that's the thing is,
people get off of Facebook when they do that.
There's many people who would stop paying attention to Facebook for like they worked that day, so they couldn't watch it, so they would just cut themselves off from Facebook so they didn't get any of the spoilers.
And then get to watch it,
and then get to watch it whenever they wanted to. Whereas you showed up at school and you didn't see the last episode of Seinfeld and all your friends were talking about the last episode of Seinfeld.
Right.
Technically with that, you didn't miss much because the show is literally about nothing, especially the last episode. It is literally about nothing.
Well, I mean,
no, the last episode is about nothing. That's the whole point. The whole show is supposed to be technically about nothing. But
don't they get, I mean, spoiler alert, it's 20 years old, but don't they get arrested for not helping somebody who's like in a car accident or in danger or something
and
like that.
Nothing really happens throughout the entire episode except them sitting around talking.
No,
about
it's
nothing.
Just a retrospective on, it's a retrospective and back jokes to the entire series.
But that's the thing is, you had to be there to watch it happen to be able to talk about it the next day at school.
Yeah.
You had no other way to watch it.
Wasn't the prosecuting attorney Johnny Cochran or something like that too?
I don't remember that part.
Can't remember.
But like there was a TV show that my girlfriend in high school watched all the time. And we were on crappy satellite TV, like really crappy satellite TV, so we didn't get the network that it came on. She would tape it on a VHS tape and bring it to me the day after it was watched. And then that night I had to go home and watch it.
That's funny.
So that I could actually talk to her about the show.
Cool.
This is one of those things that I am too embarrassed to say what the show is. Because it is embarrassing, extremely embarrassing.
Okay.
But I watched the show to watch it with her. So I was trying to be the good boyfriend and watch it with her.
Cool.
But
But that's cool, man.
The point being,
you don't really have that anymore. Because
it would have just been stream it from somewhere.
Right.
You can stream it from anywhere. And so the way that media was presented to us is so different now. And I missed that because it really felt like we were having that moment of event. It was that moment where you can say, this is where I was when this happened, and it meant something.
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't want to bring up a tragic thing, but like, dude, September 11th, 2001, where were you?
I was at work. I wasn't at work when it happened. I was asleep when it happened. But that day, I was...
Did you work at Blockbuster at that point?
I did work at Blockbuster at that point. I did not watch the second plane hit because the second plane hit at like 6:30 in the morning on the West Coast. But
I did.
You watched it.
I was living with my parents still at the time.
Yeah.
Or I had been back living with my parents. I was sleeping on a couch in the living room.
Yeah.
Or in the family room. My mother was in the living room.
I was living with my best friend out in Linda, but I was closing that day, so I got up late.
I probably saw you that day.
You saw me that day.
Yeah.
You saw me that day. I closed the store, but we did have it on. Like, I remember Blockbuster had to deal with DirecTV, and we were watching all of the news. And I watched the footage after the fact.
Yeah.
But if you closed the store, I closed it.
Right?
Yeah. You were my manager at the time.
Okay.
And it was...
So we were working the
store together. Yeah. I mean, not to get too crazy dark in it, but again, I understand the example. It's like, think about it. It's the black or white video. It's... Yeah. O.J. Simpson's car chase.
Yes,
it's
I remember.
9/11. It's those events. Columbine. Stop. Columbine. Columbine was big, and not to talk about like big disasters, tragic events.
But the way that
we're talking about events that stopped the world from working, happening. Your entire neighborhood and everyone you know stops and watches this happen.
And now we can access it wherever we want to, so we can still do what we're doing while we're accessing this information.
Yes, it's a whole different story.
It makes it so no longer instantaneous, an event in that way.
Yeah, the instantaneous availability. Culture, the instantaneous availability of this stuff, it's there, but it's also not because just doesn't, the instantaneous availability, it doesn't have the same cultural impact that it once did.
It doesn't. I mean, that's the thing is it's that there's some impact with it, but nobody's going to remember it in the same way.
Yeah. The world doesn't stop for major events anymore. It seems like,
I mean,
you know?
the shooting in Las Vegas, the shooter in Las Vegas that shot up that country concert.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not somewhere you don't remember where you were when that happened.
Because I just remember hearing about it when you came back home that day. Oh, yeah. That happened?
And it's on the phone, it's on the this or that. It doesn't shut the world down the same way. No. It doesn't have that event.
It doesn't do the same thing anymore.
So you see how that dovetailed into all of that dovetailed into the things you were talking about. That's why I was excited. Like, we have this one thing we share. It's just the loss of the meaningful cultural impact, the loss of the event. When it's funny, we shouldn't think of it as a loss because now these things are so accessible to us and so easy. But having those moments almost made it mean more. You know, they meant more to us. They stuck with us longer.
Yeah, everyone reacted at the same time.
You know, knowing when you had a
feeling of unison that would happen.
Well, and even going culturally, we're talking about big things, but even going down to small things.
Yeah,
like. Have you ever been able to pick up an album before the day it's supposed to come out?
Or even anything. Any type of media before that? No.
Because I can tell you right now, I was with somebody who picked up the Reload album. Sadly, it's a Metallica story completely. I was with somebody who picked up the Reload album day before it came out.
Whoa.
Day before it came out, and we sat and listened to it the day before it came out.
Cool, man.
I was able to pick up Garage Inc. the day before it came out.
Wow.
And listen to Garage Inc. the day
before
it came
out. You knew somebody worked at a record store.
Actually, no, both Garage Inc. and S&M. No, Garage Inc. We knew somebody at the record store. S&M, we literally went down there, and the second they put it on the shelves before they closed the store, and we grabbed one before they did, and they checked it out to us anyway. So we drove home the night before it was supposed to be due out, listening to it. Thinking how awesome we were. Reload was an interesting case. We were on a high school trip up to University of Reno, Nevada,
mm-hmm.
to do like a career thingy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And as we were coming back, we stopped at a little stop. I think it was still on the No, it was on the California side of things. We stopped at a little shopping center. Everybody went into Burger King except for one of my friends. One of my friends went over to Subway. And while he's in Subway, he heard the new Metallica stuff being played. And he asked him, where the hell did you get this? Well, next door at the music store. They're selling it already. He went over to the music store. I don't even know if he bought his sandwich at Subway. He went over to the music store and bought the CD. And then came back into the car.
So there goes my lunch money.
He came back into the school vehicle that we were in, and the school vehicle that we were in was old enough that it only had a tape player, did not have a CD player. So he had to wait till he got back to my house to be able to listen to Reload. And he's listening to Reload in my bedroom while I'm in the living room of the house building a fire in the wood stove, because it was like the middle of November or something, so it was freezing cold. And wow. I'm having to build a fire because my parents aren't home. I'm building the fire and half listening to Reload as he's in my room rocking out completely to Reload.
Nice.
And it's like those moments where you got things before other people got them. You had, I'm not saying those moments don't still occur, but it feels like that was a time that those things happened more often because you didn't have the open availability of all this stuff the way it is now.
Totally.
And it's terrible to romanticize a time where things were harder to get, but at the same time, that kind of made them mean more to us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm right there with you, man.
Next on the list, because we each still have two things to go and we're running low.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. My next is Blockbuster Video and Tower Records. I'm combining them both.
Okay.
Okay. There was a culture that came with those stores. Okay. Obviously, both of them had their huge comeuppance in the 90s. They were cultural milestones.
Oh, yes. Still to this day, when I start rattling off all the movie knowledge that I have and I get the funny looks from somebody, all I got to say is I used to work at Blockbuster, and you just get the, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's okay that you have all this movie knowledge. You did it in a job once. Yeah, you aren't just some freak living in your mom's basement watching movies.
But the biggest things about this, and both of us will have plenty to say about this.
Oh, yeah.
The culture that came with those places and the customer base, you don't get. I don't think I've been able to hold much of a conversation with anyone aside from you, or possibly other musicians that I work with.
Yeah.
That have the same, that pay the same attention to all of this media as an art form.
I get what you're saying. You know, because you get
it's like coffee shops. You know.
Yeah.
You got people that are super into, and I mean like the cultural coffee shops. You got people that are super into different types of coffee or different types of, or even stuff that comes inherently with that. They talk media, they talk poetry, they talk that kind of stuff. But when you were in a Blockbuster, you're talking about
movies, actors,
directors, not just the films. You're talking about the difference in cultural shift at the time when Jurassic Park came out, as opposed to when the John Hughes movies were out.
Yeah. And you get people that would come in that would actually be passionate about movies and want to really talk about movies.
Yeah.
And find out information. It's so frustrating for me when I try to talk to somebody about movies. And I know this is me just being big headed and full of myself and whatnot. I know that that is a big component of this.
Yeah.
But I get frustrated when I try to talk about movies with people and people be like, oh yeah, I love movies. I love these movies. I try to really talk with them and they like having movies on in the background as distraction for them.
Yeah. Their eyes really glaze over. They don't look
the movies. They really don't like the movies. It's just, oh yeah, I like movies. No, you really don't. You don't see movies as the art form of our time. You don't see movies as the thing that really encapsulates our culture.
Yeah.
That this is what will survive 500 years in the future when people are looking back at the late 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. While we look back at the Renaissance and we look at their painting and their sculpture and their writings and like the Notebook of Da Vinci and all the things he was creating in this, people are going to look back on film as being our dominant art form and the true reflection of our society.
Yes.
You can see the growth of society through film. It's a beautiful thing. And most people, it's just, oh, they're just movies. No, there's so much.
No, they're way more than that. This is the example. Yeah. Movies and music recordings in general.
I get it. Yeah.
They are the Shakespeare's notes of our time.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what they are. And the entire culture that came around with, like, one of the things that you're not going to see anymore, especially now that a cultural phenomenon that was the used record store, and I say was because the biggest used record store in this area was called Dimple Records. They were around for 40 years and they're going out. And I think they might even be done. Been like a month. I went out there and we spent like, I think my wife and I spent like a few $100 on some used stuff. But there's something about walking into a store and seeing walls upon walls, shelving, whole boxes, crates of being able to rifle through records and CDs and tapes and all of the stuff that comes with it. I mean, these guys were doing used and new, and they were doing movies and books and records and I think the thing comes down to music.
Now these things are just like I was discussing in the little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
These things are so accessible now to get a Don McLean album just for the song American Pie, even though you only paid $2 for the Don McLean album.
Well, American Pie was the entire side of one side of that record.
Well, not if you get the CD.
Well, if you get the CD, yeah.
That's the thing is for many younger people, it doesn't make any sense to them because the world has moved on from that.
Yeah.
The world has moved on into this more digital age. And you're right, the missing of those places where you can tactily come into contact with those media forms, the CDs, the DVDs, the VHS, the cassette tapes, and have people working there that, I'm sorry, you didn't go to work at Blockbuster or Tower unless you were passionate about either movies or music. Am I wrong? Yeah. And that was that was the beauty of it. It was like going into your own cathedral and finding your place of worship for the things that you love.
Yeah.
And with those things gone, there's so little joy scanning through Netflix trying to find a movie to watch as compared to going to Blockbuster and looking through the aisles.
Yeah.
And finding something that, oh, the cover of that looks kind of interesting. And then grab it, take it to the guy. Hey, have you seen this?
And actually talk to somebody about a film and whether or not it's good.
Yeah.
That's one thing you don't get anymore.
Them coming up to you and saying, okay, so I like this movie, and this movie. Is there something else you can recommend to me? Man, I made my living off of that.
Yeah.
I did that so much.
Mm-hmm.
And as a worker, I loved it. That was the best part of work was having people try movies that they never would have thought to try.
Yeah.
And hearing back from them what they thought about it, being able to help people see a different culture in movies and not just grab the biggest name Blockbuster on the shelf. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can agree.
Yeah. And by the way, this also doesn't necessarily restrict to those two stores. This comes down to the culture.
No, you're
there's
just
a
using
lot of
those
stuff
as
too.
Kind
there's Hollywood, Mr. Video, even the Mon Pop shops. Well, trying to be exclusive
as
here.
Much
the
as
culture
I have my,
of it still existed in both stores.
No, I get you. And as much as I have my my personal issues with wearing khaki pants and royal blue polo shirts, I can't ever give any credit to Hollywood because Blockbuster's too ingrained in me. I'm sorry.
I can understand that completely. Yeah, no, I'm just giving.
But I get what you're saying. It's,
you know,
the style of store is the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's missing. I mean, sometimes in malls you'll
see
other
stuff too, man. Toy stores, KB Toys, Toys R Us, that kind of stuff too. There was a whole different kind of a culture that came to it. Like you could ask about whether or not something was good. You're not going to go and bring an album to the counter at the Goodwill now.
I'm just thinking about this. Basically, we're saying that the internet ruined everything from the 90s.
No, I'm not blaming the internet for it.
I am. I'll go ahead and blame the internet for it because the internet
is
the reason.
Here's the thing, man. I'm too busy enjoying like the other benefits of things like the internet in order to say that it's like saying that the problem I have with something like that is like saying you're blaming millennials for ruining the housing market or like the diamond industry. It's just not part of it, man.
Well, I don't think that's an appropriate analogy. I think millennials ruining the diamond industry because millennials are smart enough to realize maybe that diamonds are a scam. The housing market was destroyed.
But millennials are not ruining the diamond industry. No. The diamond industry is ruining the diamond industry because they're not keeping up with millennial culture. That's their problem.
That's their problem. As far as the housing thing, that was ruined by the boomers and the Gen Xers. So that's a whole different set of circumstances.
I understand where you're coming from. Having to blame an entire generation for something that's happening.
That's why I'm not blaming a generation. I'm saying that the internet and the availability of things on the internet, the way that it's been set up, the fact that we have these things at our fingertips, really make something like Blockbuster and Tower and any of the toy stores obsolete. Because I mean, hell, I'm not saying I haven't benefited from it. My child, who is a huge fan of Godzilla, believe me, most of his Godzilla toys have come from us ordering them.
Yeah.
And most of them have been ordered from China before all the idiotic trade restrictions and tariffs were put in place. Tiny bit political, no further. We've had to order stuff from China before for him for toys, and believe me, he's got a couple of grand invested in Godzilla toys from stuff we've had to order overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think if you're ordering Godzilla toys, you'd order them from Japan. No, made in China still.
Oh, of course they are.
I'm sure Japan has them, make them in China, and then get some.
Of course, everybody makes their stuff.
Point being,
the manufacturing capital of the world, man. We all know that.
Point being, having the internet there for me to be able to do that has been helpful. I'm not going to say it hasn't been. I've ordered all kinds of things. The shoes I am wearing today, I ordered on the internet.
Yeah,
because I couldn't find them anywhere else.
Yeah, that's
the thing, is it's a beautiful thing, but at the same time, it has helped to take. It's helped to take kind of the event out of doing all those things, the event of going shopping. It makes it more of a commonplace thing. Is that good? In some ways it is. In other ways it can also be bad, because going and getting your first, you know, whatever may not be the same. It's just point and click and order and having it come in. It's not the same as going down and getting the new CD and sitting and listening to it in the car on the way home.
Yeah. There's a payoff to that, I think, to waiting for that stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a payoff to doing, so far, everything that I see here, there's a payoff to waiting for being able to do that.
Yeah.
The payoff to going and traveling to an arcade and making it kind of a social thing, the payoff of working with cassette tapes, VCRs, that kind of stuff. There's a payoff to waiting and being able to do those things.
Yeah.
It sounds like absolute convenience, but in comparison to the ability to dial something up on your phone when you want to see it, is completely different. So we're
old enough now that we're complaining that our chief complaint with these things so far, or with some of these things so far, is the fact that it didn't used to be so convenient, and damn that it's convenient now.
I mean, there's a part of it. It's part of getting older, man.
We've gotten to that age.
Yeah, now, it's back in my day, age. You know. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well. Your next one, man?
5 miles uphill both ways to school in the snow, even though we're in Northern California.
All right, man, we got three left.
Next one would be, this is a big one for me. This is a big one.
Okay.
I miss the fashion. I miss the clothes of the 90s. I really, really do.
I miss the milder counterculture fashion.
No, I miss
flannels, and I miss wallet chains, and I miss
torn-ass
jeans, except not designed torn jeans.
No, see, I like
jeans that you wore for 3 years that got holes in the knees, like that kind of stuff. Like, okay. I was into grunge culture.
You're a grunger. Okay, fine. I miss kind of the resurgence of some of the hippie culture that came out in fashion.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I miss the resurgence of some of the kind of 50s, early 60s culture that came out in men's fashion.
Right.
And they came out with the button-up shirts that were kind of similar to modern bowling shirts, or the bowling shirt style
okay.
stuff.
Okay.
I miss skate shoes. I miss corduroy.
Skate shoes were awesome.
Well, that's technically what these are.
Yeah.
But I miss corduroy. I so miss corduroy.
I know a lot of people that miss corduroy. God. I never wore corduroy. I was blue jeans all day
long. I would, if I had the choice of pants, which I don't normally wear pants, but if I have the choice of pants, corduroy is the first choice. Other than fuzzy leopard print, corduroy is the first choice.
We are not in agreement.
I always wanted fuzzy leopard print pants. Always did.
I could see you wanting fuzzy leopard print
pants.
Well, now, James,
just so I could pet my legs.
You're...
I'm not even joking, though. I actually saw somebody wearing fuzzy leopard print pants at one point.
Right.
And I was just like, I want those so that I can pet my legs. That would be amazing.
That is a very strange thing.
Leopard print is a very 90s thing because they put leopard print on everything in the 90s.
I never was really like into leopard print anything. I just kind of...
Well, and I loved those shirts, the button-up shirts that, like I say, resemble the bowling style shirts.
Yeah.
Solid colors with the stripes. I mean, how many of those did I own, man?
Oh, yeah.
I still own them all.
You still have them all?
Oh, yes. I have all of them.
Sweet.
I don't fit in all of them. I don't fit in any of them because I'm fat now, but I still have them. But yeah, I still even have some of my corduroys.
Nice.
Again, still don't fit.
I remember your dress.
I love
your fashion sense.
Yes, it was very, very late 90s.
Yeah.
And it stayed that way until I couldn't fit in the stuff anymore. But
even, I'm talking to 20-year-olds now that are like tips. Super into the 90s and stuff. There's a kid I work with right now, AJ, super into 90s culture in general. But he's into a lot of the pop 90s stuff.
Is he a boy band lover?
No.
Oh, damn.
No. He's actually part of he's part of the counterculture MTV generation. So he's not really into boy bands. He's more into like Green Day and
okay.
But this kid pops off any guitar riff that you get to. If it happened in the 90s and it was a guitar riff, he can play it. And he plays it well, to be completely honest. He can play the hell out of it.
Cuz I wouldn't admit what TV show I was watching in the 90s for my girlfriend at the time. But I will admit to being a huge 90s boy band music fan. Like, you throw on some Backstreet Boys. Yeah,
I never gotten into 90s boy bands.
This is one of those things that I would do to purposely annoy Mike in a social setting.
Yep.
Is somehow or another get some NSYNC or Backstreet Boys song to play.
Not
and like be right in his face singing the song.
Never was into it then. Still ain't now.
I have no
I
problem.
Know you
admitting,
know that.
I have no problem admitting my love for NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yep. Sometimes I hate him for it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I was never. Yeah, the 90s boy band thing just wasn't. Wasn't my thing, man. Here's the problem. Every 90s boy band I see, no matter how well choreographed they are, no matter how nice their friggin' haircuts are or whatever, I always see New Kids on the Block. And yeah, they were a cultural phenomenon, but good Lord, they were horrible.
I like New Kids on the Block as well.
I never liked New Kids on the Block.
I have a problem with
one of
their
members now.
Go
back and watch those old videos. They're horrible.
Oh, they are. They are. They're absolutely horrible.
Yeah, but, well, I saw them for how horrid they were when I was like 10.
That's all right.
Okay?
I hated
them then.
They are terrible. I still like them. The Spice Girls aren't necessarily the most musically talented group ever to have existed.
No, but they had better songwriting.
I'm not going to entirely disagree with that, but I like them too.
I can understand the Spice Girls, not just because of its gender thing. Okay?
I was going to say, because I like the Spice Girls for another reason, beyond the music.
No, of course, but that being said, I think there was, just like I said, there's some refinement that does happen just because I am not a fan of Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and Spice Girls is another offshoot of that. There was, as the years went by, there was an improvement on songwriting and that kind of stuff that happened on top of it.
Now even
and I can give it that. Does it mean that I like them? No.
Well, but, and to bring it back to point,
yeah,
which my original point was the fashion.
Yeah.
Boy bands, not so good in the fashion.
Yeah.
Now Spice Girls, that was some 90s fashion right there that I love. This is the thing that I miss the most.
They were doing like the baby doll space rock stuff.
We had baby doll dresses.
Yeah.
You had a few of them in the baby doll dresses. And then you had what was my favorite women's fashion from the 90s.
Leopard print?
Other than the leopard print, sorry. No, my favorite women's fashion from the 90s.
Right.
Most exemplified actually in the Limp Bizkit video for the whole Roland video. That's
Yeah.
The pants that are slightly baggy,
yeah,
and the super tight, like almost skin fitting tops, like with spaghetti strap tops.
Oh yeah,
that fashion for women in the 90s, I love it. I love it.
Okay, I can get,
absolutely
I can get
love
either.
It. I just they can wear that every day, all day. I don't care.
I can understand that.
I'm totally down with that.
That makes sense.
And that's I miss the fashion.
I get it. I'll be real. There was something hot about it for sure.
Very hot about it. Yes, for sure. Very much. Yeah, I miss the fashion. Okay. Next on yours, this will be your last one, right?
Yes.
This is your last one. Bring it home.
hand-drawn film animation.
Oh, now that's a one.
Right? Okay,
that's
so
a one to bring.
Here's what I'm talking about. Because it hit, honestly, it hit the peak before it converted.
Yeah.
In the mid-2000s, it started to convert to flash-based digital animation, and I don't mean CGI animation.
Yeah.
It was still hand-drawn. The technology caught up. You had a lot of clean animation that happened, but there's something about, like, even if you look at feature films or cartoon series around the time, and yes, I will call off the Batman series. That's a good example.
That is a good example.
That came out by Warner or Disney at that time,
yeah,
it was huge. And you had some combination of CGI.
Yeah, like Lion King.
Film.
Lion King had the one
King
sequence, the stampede
and Aladdin
sequence.
And
the,
yeah.
Aladdin had
there
the
was
carpet
a combination
ride
of
sequence.
That. And, yes, and there was a combination of that that would happen, and it was good. But I'm talking about even 90s Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny cartoons,
what would you
Tiny
say,
Toons,
what would you say
Animaniacs, all that
the,
kind of stuff.
What would you say was the height of it for you, for the hand-drawn animation? Because I'm thinking of one movie that I actually saw in the theaters.
You mean hands down
the majority best of the movie is hand-done animation. There may be a CGI sequence in the movie.
Yeah.
But the majority of the movie is hand-drawn animation. It's like the pinnacle, what you felt it reached the pinnacle.
I honestly, like, even though I was calling it out for the story that it was, and that I would probably say The Lion King as far as hand-drawn animation. There is a zoom shot that's done at the end of the growing up montage sequence where Simba gets called back to the Pride Lands. Right.
I thought you were going to go with the pre stampede.
No,
zoom. That's a good.
There
one.
Is
go
a
on.
There is a zoom that happens in the where he comes back in the Pride Lands, and it's a close zoom on his paw, on his leg as he hits the ground.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And it does a slow zoom out. You can see the every single hand drawn line as it was inked. And the speed of the animation, it's 24 frame per second animation. You can see it, but you can tell every single frame is hand-drawn, nice. And you see the slight squiggle of each line as it's slightly different.
I get you.
And it zooms out to Simba as he's walking into frame from
nice.
The right. Okay?
Nice.
That paw hit and the backing zoom that comes into the...
Yeah.
What's crazy about that is the background is obviously a hand-painted background that zoomed out, but the fact that they zoomed in on the shot and came back out, and you can see every detail
nice.
Of that zoom as it comes out, what you can see is that the lines start to thin out as they go in. So this was an afterthought in the
nice.
Shot, and so it's not hand-drawn on the shot and then it zooms out. It's
each
his
frame,
entire
each frame,
frame
is another frame away.
It's each frame is another frame away, but what they did was they drew the shot in, right? And they painted the background. It's an afterthought of the zoom, and so you see the detail
yeah.
of the actual art, the hand-drawn animation. I've never seen something like that since, because you can refine and clean up everything so much in a digital realm that you don't see that anymore.
And see what's funny
in animation.
What's funny is Lion King was considered the secondary project at Disney at the time. It was considered the less important project. Nobody wanted on that project.
Aladdin and Lion King were produced at the same time,
nope.
right?
Aladdin was well before Lion King.
Oh. What was happening at the same time?
Pocahontas. That was considered the bigger project.
Oh, yeah. And you
not
see
so
you can see that kind of stuff happening too in many of the shots, but what I one of the things that I get out of that is it's so fascinating. And I was a kid that was super into animation at
yeah.
the time. So I see something like this and it is just that was I remembered seeing it in the theater
yeah.
and being like I think I was like 12, I think, when I saw it.
12,
maybe
right.
13.
Sounds about right.
When I saw it for the first time and just looking at that, because I was like I said, I was super into it as a kid.
Yeah.
5, 6 years old, I had a book on Walt Disney and Disney Studios and what they did, and I had stuff on Mel Blanc and Warner Brothers and all that kind of those two big companies. I was
yeah.
huge into them, and I remember I had a favorite animator when I was 8.
Who?
Friz Freleng.
Okay, I can understand that.
I had a favorite animation director when I was 8, which is crazy. Like nobody had that, but I remembered seeing the detail that was in that, and there's nothing I have seen in more recent times as good as animation has developed into an adult-oriented art form. in the realm of storytelling, yeah, and that kind of a thing. You find a lot of more serious animation, and I see that as the advent of that is the result of anime culture, I believe.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
I consider adult oriented animation as a result of anime culture and that kind of just that the ability for that to be to just exist,
yeah,
is nice. But that's still, you don't see anything nowadays that has that hand drawn, cell photographed kind of information happening. Like, you don't see it.
That was, yeah, I agree with you on that, sir.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I understand the hand drawn animation. That would be a big thing that's missing now.
Yeah.
All right, my final one, sir.
Yes.
Especially because even though we tried to be close on time, we're still running long on time.
You're good.
This is an easy one. This is another food item.
Okay. End it with a food item.
Ending it with another food item.
Let's go.
Because what's James's favorite food item? What's James's favorite food? We've discussed this at length.
Burgers?
There you go.
Ha! I am paying attention.
Hamburgers are my favorite food. Well, there used to be a hamburger.
Oh, my.
That was, in many ways, the perfect, for me anyway, the perfect fast food hamburger.
Oh, really?
This is a burger that had, I believe, two patties. Normally came with cheese, but I got it without cheese. Bacon.
Uh-huh.
Mayonnaise. But here's the key. On the bottom bun, it had mayonnaise with a bunch of bacon bits. Not like bacos, but like small actual pieces of real bacon in the mayonnaise, covering almost the entire bun. So you had bun, mayonnaise, little bacon bits all mixed in with the mayonnaise.
Really?
Meat, bacon, meat, more bacon, cheese if you liked it, but again, not me. More mayonnaise, bun.
Okay.
This was called the bacon cheeseburger at Jack in the Box.
I don't remember this.
That's okay. It was there. I know it was there because
it existed.
Because it was my favorite.
Find the Wikipedia page, damn it.
Yes, it was my favorite fast food burger to get because, one, it had lots of bacon, but the crumbled pieces of bacon, like the problem with eating most of your fast food bacon burgers,
uh-huh,
is you're not going to get bacon in every bite. Wendy's does a pretty good job, and we still have yet to do our burger episode where we really talk about burgers.
Right.
But Wendy's does a pretty good job of getting your bacon in every bite. Most other places don't. You get some bites without the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
This, with these bacon bits all along the bottom, guaranteed you bacon in every single bite of that burger that you took. It was amazing. And it was so simple. Because even if you got the cheese on it, the name is bacon cheeseburger. It gives you two types of bacon, the crumbled bacon and the strips of bacon. It gives you cheese, it gives you burger, nothing else.
Wow.
No frills, no, you know, let's put this vegetable on it and that vegetable on it and all these other things on it. None of that shit. None of that on there. It was a basic bacon cheeseburger.
All right.
What it told you was what you got. And it was so amazing.
Huh.
And it's gone.
Wow.
It's been gone since the early aughts.
Wow, I have always loved the hell out of burgers, and I have never had it. Well, I don't remember having it.
You can love burgers. Burgers are life.
Burgers are life, sir.
Burgers are life.
And I think that's where we should end it.
We will end it for that. So, thank you all for listening. Again, went on long, but hey, more information
it
about
always
us
goes long, man.
That we love.
You guys, I have some time, right?
That's what she said. Moving on.
Damn it.
That's an okay joke to keep in. You don't have to delete that thing. You don't have to move that around.
No, anyway. I'm not.
So, first I want to say, anybody else that's listening to this, please tell us the things that you miss from the 90s. And please have been born before the 90s to tell us things that you miss from the 90s.
I don't think it's a full...
Because if you were born in like 94, you
who
miss
knows,
your
man?
Bottle. You Dude, miss your binky.
Well, maybe not. I mean, you could be 6 years old and miss...
We don't want to hear Dunkaroos. We really don't want to hear Dunkaroos. We know people
miss
Dunkaroos.
With, you know what? Ain't nothing wrong with like Pogs, okay? If you pull up Pogs,
okay, Pogs,
that's legit.
Pogs, I get that. But please, leave us some comments. Let us know what you miss from the 90s.
Yeah.
It's no longer around. Mike, where can people listen to us?
Well, you can head to our website, thezenchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We have our podcast streaming on that website at any point. You can listen to us at any point. We also have, speaking of Zenchron, we're also on Facebook, and we are on
Twitter.
Yes. Sorry, I don't have the list in front of me this time. I'm trying to do it from memory. So we are on Facebook and Twitter. Comment, like us, follow us.
Did you mention
all that kind of stuff?
I missed the Spotify?
We're not yet. I haven't gotten to other streaming websites yet. As far as other streaming websites, we are on TuneIn. Yes. We are on Spotify.
That one.
We are on Google Podcast.
Also that one.
Also that one. And if you guys miss any of these older episodes, by the way, our entire archive of all of our podcasts are available on our YouTube page.
Yes.
So check out our YouTube page. Just type in the Zenial Chronicles on YouTube right now. Make sure that you like and subscribe and hit the bell icon so that you get a notice every time a new video comes up, which would be, in this case, one of our podcasts. So you could check us out. Comment on those.
Please
do. We do follow those, and we also respond.
We have.
And we have done this, and we will continue to.
We let you know which one of us is responding to you in a very Zenial Chronicles fashion.
Indeed.
Indeed. Because, yes, we do. Personal responses.
Yes.
Now we're just making each other laugh. Oh, boy.
Hey.
Eight Loco bad.
He did not drink eight Locos before he got here.
No, I did not. I only had one cup of coffee. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.